podcast. We're glad to have with us today Jacqueline Holness from the pop culture blog After the Altar Call. Jacqueline is based out of Atlanta, and I'm excited to be able to have an opportunity to speak with her today. Jacqueline, thanks for taking time today.
Thank you for having me.
So, Jacqueline, I believe we first connected maybe through social media. You do some fitness activities yourself. Go ahead and share a little bit about exactly what all you do.
Well, I am a fitness instructor for LA Fitness. I was thinking this morning how long I've been teaching there, and it's probably been about 15 years. And
wow.
So I teach there twice a week, actually, and then I do running outside of that. So,
what do you teach?
Body work to light weightlifting.
Primarily women, I assume, take a class like that?
Mostly women, but I also have men in the class as well.
So both times that you teach, it's both times it's body works.
Yes, Mondays and Tuesdays. I'm actually teaching a class tonight.
Oh, cool. How many typically are in the class?
Anywhere from, I guess, between 15 to 20, sometimes more than that, depending on the time of the year. You know, right after the new year, there's always a flood of new people coming in for New Year's resolutions, I guess.
Sure. Yeah, then it's crowded for a month or so, and then it starts to taper back down again to the faithful.
Right. Until it gets about this time of year and people start coming back again.
And do you see that you have clients that have been doing this for months or even years?
I do have a few ladies that have been coming to my class almost as long as I've been teaching, so I do have a few regulars.
Nice. But as a general rule, you're constantly sort of seeing new people coming in and some people leaving the program.
I do see people coming in and leaving, so I've learned to not really, I don't want to say get attached as if, you know, they're going to break my heart, but I've just learned to kind of, you know, do what I need to do, and hopefully, you know, you'll get something from it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, in one sense, it sort of reflects life where, you know, the perspective that we all have a very limited time to impact the lives of others, to do something for God, because it's pretty short.
It is. You're right.
Do you generally, as you're thinking about class, think about the time frame of that you have to get people transforming the way they live, you know, changing their attitude or starting to have fun with exercise or whatever it might be?
Well, the people that I've gotten to know, people that do come consistently, I have conversations with them, and we've gotten to know each other. And I try to encourage them to, you know, not only take my class, but take other instructors' classes, as well as just incorporate fitness when they're not at the gym. You know, for me, I do work out at the gym, but I also enjoy working out outside the gym. And so I try to encourage them to do that as well. To just
nice.
Incorporate fitness in their overall life. I do have a quick story. One of my regulars, when she first started coming, her and her husband had moved down to the metro Atlanta area from New York, and then her husband passed away, and so I didn't see her for a while, but one day I saw her in the nearby grocery store, and I, you know, asked about why she hadn't been coming, and she was saying that she didn't really feel like doing things like that because her husband had passed away, and I just encouraged her to come back, you know, that it was, you know, working out is a great stress reliever, you know, it releases endorphins, it makes you feel good. And so she came back. I was surprised that she actually did, but she came back. And then I guess about maybe a year ago, she told me she had some kind of health scare, and the doctor told her that had she not been working out, that it would have been a lot worse. So I feel good when I hear stories like that.
Yeah, for sure. Wow. And not to get into that person's personal life but can we assume that this was an older person, or was
it
actually somebody that...
She's a retired school principal, actually, that moved down here after she retired.
Okay. Do you see people, though, that are younger, that are still concerned about their health, and maybe rightly so?
Well, I have younger women in my class as well, and some of them have children that, you know, they want to get fit. I was speaking with one of my students about 6 months or so ago. She's a Hispanic woman, and she doesn't speak a whole lot of English, but I was able to get from her that her son is very overweight, and she wanted to encourage him to work out, and she was asking me for tips to encourage him to work out. And I grew up as kind of a chubby couch potato kind of kid, so I just had a few tips for her as to what to say to him. And someone that didn't really like to work out at all when I was growing up.
Now, I assume the son doesn't go to LA Fitness.
No, but I have had, you know, people to bring in some of the, I don't know, I guess middle-aged women have brought in their teenage kids and kids in their 20s to the class. So
nice.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work? I mean, do people sort of feel odd about it, or does it actually, do they discover that it's actually more fun having different ages there than they thought it would be?
Well, what I don't know necessarily how they feel, but I always feel good when the kids, the, you know, 19, 20 or whatever, where, you know, I can see that I've really given them a good workout. It makes me feel like, oh, I can still do it.
Yeah, for sure. Do you sense, a couple of issues ago in Faith and Fitness magazine, we did a focus on intergenerational fitness. And I'm curious, from your perspective there at LA Fitness and even your broader perspective at the Atlanta area and so forth, what are your thoughts on how well or maybe how poorly here in America, in our culture, we're actually addressing the whole family and the needs? You know, a lot of times it seems like it's a program for men, a program for women, but that whole family, people slip between the cracks a lot of times, I think. What's your thoughts?
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, because yesterday as I was leaving the gym after I'd finished teaching my class, there was a whole family that got into the van next to me. They had been working out. I assume it was a wife and a husband and their two sons. So that entire family was working out, and I assume that the sons are probably old enough, 19, 20, to be, you know, allowed into LA Fitness. So I think LA Fitness, I can't speak for other gyms, but we do have a cross-section of people who are pretty young, you know, 19, 20, and then we have people who are, you know, elderly at the gym. Also, my mother works out quite a bit. She's a member of a senior center nearby here. And so we have facilities around that cater to different age groups. But I do think where I work that they do encourage people of all ages to work out.
Do you see any, for lack of a better term, commingled classes where you would literally see somebody, you know, that's a senior as well as a teenager and people in their middle ages all doing the exact same class, maybe with modifications?
That happens in my class. So
okay.
I have my regulars are older women. You know, I would assume they're in their 60s and 70s. And then I have some 18-year-olds and 19-year-olds as well.
Nice. Well, let me ask you another question. You work at LA Fitness, which is obviously one of the major national chains here in our country. Do you have opportunity to share your Christian faith in any way? And if so, tell me a little bit about that. If not, I'm curious if you've attempted to, and maybe the company has said, let's be careful about that.
I've had conversations with some of my regulars. One of my regulars is a minister, and she helps me out a lot because, you know, I'm counting down on class, and so she's a really good and loud counter. So she helps me out. And we've talked about, you know, her being a minister, and I've shared with her, you know, my Christian faith. So we share that. So I didn't, you know, necessarily try to tell her in the interest of getting her interested in Christ, but we just share that in common. And, you know, I've shared when it comes to my music choices, I've shared that in general. But I don't know that I necessarily try to win people for Christ in that setting. You know, I tell people things about myself, and I hope that I've communicated, you know, who I am and what I believe in. But because my primary purpose there is to teach people to work out, I try to stay on that course, if that makes sense. Now, when it comes to me working out personally, you know, I'm a part of running groups during the summer, and I just had a conversation with someone about my faith, but that is more so my own time, if that makes sense.
How did that develop? Did you just sort of go into it, or did they ask you a question that led to you being able to open up, or?
Well, we're preparing for the Peachtree Road Race. It's the biggest 10K in the country, in the world, I think, but definitely in the country.
What is it again, the Peachtree?
The Peachtree Road Race. It's going to be here on July 4th, and it's, like I said, it's the biggest 10K in the country, and they're celebrating their 50th anniversary. So I run with a running group, and so there's this one particular woman we've kind of, you know, hit off, so to speak. And so we were doing one of our long runs a couple of weeks ago, and so she said, and I don't know if you ever experienced this, when you kind of get along with someone and you feel like we must have some other things in common that we're getting along so well. So anyway, you know, she told us we're going to run past her church. I said, you know, I didn't know you were a member of a church. And she said, I am. She said, I'm actually a member of two churches, but I probably can only claim one. And so then we got to talking about our Christian faith through that. And there are other people that I have met in previous years. You know, one member of my group, she talked about moving down to Ohio and looking for a church and so forth. So you get in the conversations with people about their beliefs as you get to know them.
Have you had an opportunity, whether it went directly into a conversation about faith or not, that over the course of the 15 years that you've been at LA Fitness, that a client, you know, someone that's in a class has come up to you before, afterwards, whatever, and said, hey, can I talk with you about something? You know, in other words, they're sort of opening up beyond the scope of the exercising to something that's going on in their life. But, you know, so, similar to the way that the woman who lost her husband did.
I have had people come up to me and ask me questions about how I approach different issues outside of, you know, outside of fitness. And I have been able to share, you know, my faith in that way.
Well, nice. Let me ask you, and this will be a little putting you on the spot type of question here. If LA Fitness were to come to you and say, hey, we would like, Jacqueline, we know you're a Christian. We know that what you have in spiritually has value for our customers, and we'd like for you to do a class where you're really openly, you know, celebrating that and helping people to understand that more. What would that look like? What can you imagine? Have you ever considered the world would be if we actually had classes like that in fitness facilities?
If LA Fitness asked me to do that, I would be happy to do that. You know, I can't imagine that they would, but I would be happy to do that, because I don't segment my faith. I don't try to hide it. So I'd be happy to, you know, share with people about God and fitness and food and things that go along with supporting being fit. So I wouldn't have – it would be a joy to be able to do that.
Cool. Well, let's transition a bit away from the conversation on fitness and get into – the blog that you do, this pop culture blog called After the Altar Call. go ahead and share a little bit about just what you do with that.
Okay, well, so I'm a pop culture fiend.
Okay.
I know pop culture in and out on the religious side and the non-religious side. And it's just the interest I've always had. It's just something that came naturally to me. And so because I grew up in a Christian household, you know, of course I was introduced to Christian issues. And so I just always look for the pop culture aspect in both the Christian world and the secular world. And so, and I've always wanted to be a writer. So I decided to come up with a blog that married two of my loves, pop culture and writing. And so I just write about how pop culture intersects faith.
Nice. Give us some of the topics, you know, just sort of bullet point, but some of the topics that you've covered over the years that you've been doing pop after the altar call.
Well, I've had the chance to interview various Christian celebrities. I'm trying to think of Tamela Mann. She's a gospel singer. Kim Fields, if you remember, she started out in television in the 70s with Facts of Life. I've had a chance to interview her. So I've had a chance to interview some pretty big name Christian celebrities, and that's been really interesting to me. I've had a chance to go to a few movie sets here in Atlanta filming Christian programming, and so that's been really interesting to see. And then also I comment on different issues that people are already commenting on social media from a Christian point of view.
Such as?
I'm trying to think the most recent thing that I talked about from a Christian point of view. Let's see here.
Well, let me ask it this. Go ahead.
Well, we have a new minister here in Atlanta. He's a mega church pastor. And so there's been a lot of discussion about, you know, mega churches and, you know, whether people should trust mega churches or not and so forth. So I've been, and people who are in the Christian world and outside of the Christian world discuss this issue because of what people see, you know, when it comes to some mega church pastor. So I've, that's been one of my popular, I guess that's been something that people come to my blog for a discussion on that.
Yeah. What's your take on mega churches?
I mean, you know, a mega church, there's nothing wrong with a mega church as far as, you know, being a large church. I mean, you want to tell as many people about Christ as possible. And if that church grows as a result of that, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But I also think that sometimes when it comes to mega churches, there might be a temptation for leadership to have some issues that come from just being in a position of great authority. I guess any power position, there's always a temptation to let that power be corrupted. And that's, you know, that could happen at a mega church. It could happen in any organization that's large. So it's not, you know, it's not just mega churches that would have this issue. I just think that's something that translates to any large corporation. So
sure. And the theme for our June-July 2019 issue of Faith and Fitness Magazine is In the Flesh. And the whole one of the big concepts that we're discussing is the importance of Christians realizing that they can be very personal, very one-on-one connected with others. It would seem to me that the mega church environment may be less likely to nurture that type of a of relationships. Any thoughts from you on just how Christians can be more directly social, not social media, but, you know, truly engaging one-on-one with people?
Well, you know, you're talking to someone who's an introvert. So even though I can talk freely one-on-one, you know, I can tend to be shy. So for me, you know, I like to get to know people a little bit. And once I get to know them a little bit and feel comfortable, I feel comfortable sharing things about myself. I'm not someone who just immediately comes up to someone and you know, just starts the conversation. I have to kind of get to know you a little bit. So I'm just speaking from the perspective of someone who's an introvert. And for me, you know, if you find groups that you're naturally interested in, you know, I enjoy doing my running groups every summer. And one of the things that, because the groups are pretty small, you know, you might have about 15 people within a group. And then within that group, some people naturally run at the same pace. So that might be three or four of you together. And so, you know, you'll be surprised how much you can talk to someone as you're running. You know, running around in that group here in Atlanta, you know, we're running in various neighborhoods every weekend. And so you'll be surprised as to what you can talk about. And, you know, I think you should always find a way to incorporate your faith, not to beat someone over the head with it, you know, because I don't think that works either. But just, you know, just to be natural about what you do and who you are.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it really is all about just being natural and being prepared for the moment when God gives it to you to be able to, you know, to have those open conversations with people. Well, that's interesting. Yeah, I guess a lot of times I don't think about the introvert person. I'm probably just the opposite. I could talk to a, you know, a tree. But it's interesting that you share that, and I think you're absolutely right that if we can find an interest, a common interest, an affinity, you know, whether it be running or whatever. And a lot of times I think the different fitness activities give us that is certainly a means by which to more gently move into conversations.
Right. My mom is an extrovert and she's really excellent at telling people about her faith. But like I said, she's an extrovert and she'll talk about anything at any point with anyone.
Yeah.
But I'm not that way, so.
So how did you come up with the title After the Altar Call for your blog?
Well, I went to a writer's conference several years ago, and I was pitching a book that I had written about some things in my life, and it was the phrase after the altar call was in that description, and the person that I was meeting with who was evaluating my pitch, she picked out those words from my pitch, and she said, I think this is the most interesting phrase, you know, from your pitch. And I thought about it, and I was like, yeah, you're right, because, you know, of course, as Christians, we're trying to get people to come to Christ, and usually that looks like people coming up to the altar during a church service or whatever, you know, whatever the case may be, if it's a not necessarily a church service, but some sort of service. But then, you know, that's like the highlight. But then what happens after that? And, you know, you have to actually live. And so to me, that's, you know, it would seem the high point is the altar call experience, but then you actually have to live. You're not going to heaven at that point in time. So, you know, so that's where it came from. You have to live after the altar call.
How well do you think Christians do that? Do you have readers from your blog contacting you and saying, yeah, that's what I want to do, or that sounds like a good idea, but I'm really not quite sure how to do it, or I feel uncomfortable doing it?
Well, you know, I write on different topics, and one of the topics that people really respond to are my Greenleaf recaps. And I don't know if you ever heard this show called Greenleaf. It's a drama about a mega church and the family that runs the mega church. And so it's not a real thing, but I write about it from the perspective of someone that grew up in church with, you know, my father is a retired pastor. I have uncles that are pastors. My grandfather, when he was alive, he was a pastor. So I'm able to infuse my experience into my recaps. And I'm always shocked when people respond and say that the way that I was able to communicate something that's not even real, you know, caused them to think about their own relationships. One of my readers has emailed me several times about a challenge relationship that she has with her mother. And one of the characters in the show that I recap, she has a challenge relationship with her mother. And so I'm shocked that she's able to get anything from what I'm writing about it. But I do get these kind of comments about, you know, about pop culture things that I write about. So, you know, I'm always shocked, but it's a good thing.
Yeah. Well, real quick, pop culture, what do you feel are the hot buttons right now the things that are most pressing, not only on people's minds, but really shaping their life, their lifestyle, their after the altar daily existence?
Well, as far as pop culture right now, the movie When They See Us, that was about these five men that were wrongfully accused of, you know, a crime. And so, you know, because that wasn't a TV show or a Netflix movie, actually, people are talking about that, you know, as a it's a serious issue, but it's being approached from a cultural standpoint, a pop cultural standpoint, in that it was made into a movie. And now there's another movie that's coming out, Brian Banks, is coming out in August, and that's also about another person who was wrongfully convicted of a crime that he didn't commit. So a lot of times, even though, you know, people assume that pop culture isn't about serious issues, when a movie highlights a serious issue, it gets people thinking about serious issues from a standpoint of, you know, media. You know, election stuff. People are thinking about election stuff from a popular cultural type of way. That's something that people are talking about right now. So you'd be surprised how pop culture intersects with serious issues.
Yeah, and just as we're wrapping up here, if what would be, you know, one or two bits of advice that you would give to our listeners as to how the next time they go to the gym, whether they're working out or running or whatever it might be, and they want to engage with someone, how can they maybe touch on some of those pop culture topics and engage with people and you know, do that in a way that brings honor to God, or at least has the faith as a potential presence?
Well, you know, I always stress, you know, at least for me, I don't know if I stress it, but for me, I try to be kind in all of my interactions. A lot of times, you know, some people really talk a whole lot at the gym, and there are other people that don't talk. They just kind of come in there and they do what they need to do. But I would just stress being kind in your general interactions with people. And if you see them over and over again and you're always kind and personable, I think people tend to start to be friends, or at least be pleasant. And then as you're, you know, going from that standpoint, you may notice, you know, if they're listening to music, what are they listening to? If they're late this time, you know, why are they late? I stress getting to know people over time. And as, you know, as you get to know people, you can tell them things about, you know, about God or your faith or how you approach life. So.
Absolutely. Well, great advice, Jacqueline. We've been speaking today with Jacqueline Holness, author of the pop culture blog, After the Altar Call. She's also a group exercise instructor at an LA Fitness in Atlanta. Jacqueline, it has been awesome speaking with you, and we look forward to bringing you to Faith and Fitness Magazine some more if you're up for doing that.
Well, I certainly am, and I just thank you so much for having me, Brad.
This has been a Faith and Fitness Magazine podcast. Continue to watch the magazine at faithandfitness.net for more podcasts, and do share it with all of your friends. Until next time, this is Brad Bloom.